Welcome to the Master Your Health podcast, your top resource for all things nutrition, fitness, and health. I'm Amanda Rocchio, best known for my meal prep and nutrition content. And today I'm here with my co-host, the research junkie between the two of us, and my husband, Chris Rocchio.
Hello, everyone. And real quick, I wanted to read this review from one of our listeners, and I had to pick this one out because it calls me out specifically. It's titled, "Been waiting forever for this podcast. Can Chris talk me to sleep at night? His voice is like butter. Love the content and can't wait for more. Amanda and Chris have a great rapport and collaborate so well for this podcast." Well, thank you. I had to single that one out because
I like it.
Who doesn't like some positive attention?
Hey, all my friends compliment your voice. So, you know, I don't know. I feel like I'm a little biased, but I like it too.
I always judge the hell out of my voice whenever I'm doing it.
Anyways, today we're bringing you a podcast covering our top nutrient-dense foods that you should really be adding to your diet. Going into fall and flu season, now's a great time to up your dose of nutrient-dense foods. But before we get into today's episode, I did want to talk about one of our favorite nutrient-dense foods, which is basically Organifi's protein powder. I love to go for the chocolate protein powder. I think Chris gets annoyed with me if I ever order vanilla. He's not a vanilla kind of guy.
Yeah.
But one thing I love about Organifi's chocolate protein powder is it doesn't use just one protein source, not even two protein sources. It actually uses three plant protein sources. So you get a variety of nutrients from those three plant proteins. So that includes pea protein, quinoa protein, and pumpkin seed protein. They're all organic, and Organifi is really committed to bringing you the best ingredients possible while also making it taste delicious. And that's what I love about their chocolate protein powder.
You're probably already tired of hearing me saying most of us don't get enough protein in our diet. So this is a great little addition of 25, 30 grams of protein in the middle of your day. And we know protein helps increase muscle mass, and muscle mass increases your metabolism. So it's important to keep that lean muscle in your frame, as we know it has multiple benefits. And this protein, actually, if you look at the nutrition facts, it actually looks like a multivitamin supplement. It's got a whole list of essential vitamins and nutrients and minerals. And it also has the enzymes in it to help you break down the nutrients and utilize them more easily. And if you're familiar with plant protein powders and some of the literature around it, you'd know that one of the major concerns for them is heavy metals that are in some of the poor quality ones. And there's been a lot of concern about that lately. Well, Organifi contains barely detectable amounts of these heavy metals, and the amounts contained are no more than you would find in any plant or even organic vegetable, because I'm not sure if you guys know this, but all plants contain a minute amount of these heavy metals. So it's not like you're only going to find it in plant protein powder. It's all in there. It's in the soil because of industrialized era and things like that. So you're not going to find it in any greater amounts than you are going to in normal fruits and vegetables that you buy, which is great news. And any amount of heavy metals in the products are far, far below the maximum amounts allowed by Prop 65 guidelines. So you don't have to worry about that with this product. Maybe some other ones, some off brands that come shipped from overseas and are not checked as well. They really pay attention and have a lot of focus on the sourcing of their ingredients. So, and lastly, it tastes great. I mean, I love this as kind of a midday dessert or even a late night snack. I know I like a lot of chocolate after my dinner. And so I have the tendency to go rummaging around in chocolate chips that Amanda buys for her recipes. So this is my way to satisfy that craving. And, you know, sometimes I have to do it a couple times just to really get that satisfaction, but it's that good that it fulfills that requirement.
So you can find our favorite Organifi products at Organifi.com/masteryourhealth, and the code MASTERS gets you 15% off all their wonderful products. Again, four of our favorite products are up on that site. You'll see a photo of Chris and I, and you really do want to add something like this protein powder to your repertoire for fall or just even in general.
All right, so moving into today's episode, we are talking about the most nutrient-dense foods and the ones that we like. And we know there's a lot of hype in the media and, you know, the buzzwords that some marketers use. And you've heard superfoods probably a million times before. But it's really just more accurate to call them nutrient-dense.
I know. It's funny because I still actually like the term, but because I know there's such a negative association because it is overused and probably used on the wrong things.
I mean, you say that word and you get the eye roll from most people that are in the health community and have heard this stuff a while.
Totally. Know? So I think nutrient-dense foods is a great way to categorize the foods we're talking about today. And it's really the correct way.
Right. And I'm not sure how much you guys know about this topic, but nutritional deficiencies are surprisingly common. even with the access that we have with a wide range of foods and nutritional supplements. I mean, around 31% of the U.S. population is at risk for at least one vitamin deficiency or anemia. So we want to cover some of the most nutrient-dense foods to include into your nutrition plan, and we can prevent some of these deficiencies. Personally, I like to include all of these things at least once a week into my plan because I'm already focused on it. I've been focused on it for a while. So maybe just add them to your grocery list and you can incorporate them more and more into your diet and see if it works for you.
So first on the list is one that I don't really do enough. Reading it on the list right now is inspiring me to go get it from the grocery store. Chris told me to that, is liver. So liver is a really interesting one. I had no idea, you know, until maybe like the past year or so that it was so nutrient dense. And one thing to point out is it's rich in retinol, which is a preformed version of vitamin A that is highly bioavailable. So that's what you'll find in liver in general, that a lot of these vitamins and minerals are very bioavailable in this organ meat. So a few other cool things about liver is that it's a complete protein. It's one of the few sources of vitamin D in your diet. So obviously you can get vitamin D from going out in the sun, but it's much harder to get it from your diet. And liver is one of those sources. And it's also rich in vitamin B12, B6, riboflavin, and also in copper and zinc. In fact, it's actually so nutrient dense that you're not supposed to eat it more than once a week. I think I had to tell Chris that one time. I don't remember. Or you might have looked it up, but I remember seeing that and being like, okay, it's so nutrient dense that it's actually, you don't want to eat it every day, which is crazy. But it's good to note that, but also good to know you can't overdo it. There is such a thing as too much of a good thing. So just to give you a little more detail on how much it contains of these vitamins and minerals, a 3.5-ounce portion of beef liver contains 1,176% of your daily value of B12. It contains upwards of 50% plus of your daily value of B5, B6, niacin, and folate. It contains 201% of your daily value of B2. Now, this next one's crazy. 634% of your daily value of vitamin A, which is a reason why you can't have it every single day. 714% of your daily value of copper. 30+% of your daily value of iron, phosphorus, zinc, and selenium. And it also contains 29 grams of high quality protein. So this truly is one of the most nutrient dense foods out there. Now we will say it's a very acquired taste. I remember the first time Chris made it, I think you cooked it in olive oil, and the look on his face while he was eating it was not a happy one. He did not enjoy the process. So actually Chef Mary, she's actually Paleo Chef on Instagram. She has what she calls a bangin' liver recipe. It is really good. It makes it a lot more manageable and tasty. She does a lot of spices and flavors. So if you're looking for something to make liver a bit more delicious, make sure to look up some recipe, you know, maybe Google search bangin' liver recipe. One of those things will lead you in the right direction because it's not something you want to do plain. And another cool thing I see companies doing now is adding liver to ground beef so it's not as strong on its own. So that's also something to look out for, is maybe ground beef with some organ meats ground into the actual meat.
Oh, I need to try that. That sounds really good. And plus, yeah, I don't stomach the liver
on its own.
But
what
I mean,
did
I do
you
like,
cook it with? Was I do it like salt and olive oil?
Yeah, it was just salt, pepper, olive oil. That's
not
it.
Enough.
You know, yeah. I powered through it. It's not like I wasted it or whatever, but it was not pleasant by any means. I think I had to like shove a handful of pistachios in my mouth or something like that in the meantime. But yeah, so the next one on our list is salmon. And I like to include salmon or a fatty fish into my diet about twice a week. That's probably the limit you want to do just if you want to be concerned about the mercury levels and things like that. But 2-3 servings a week is not going to be a big deal, especially with salmon because it's lower on that mercury count. But it is rich in omega-3 fatty acids, which is great for anti-inflammatory benefits and overall health. It's high in protein, magnesium, potassium, selenium, B vitamins. And one of the reasons why we chose this fish above others is because of the omega-3s. I mean, you can't talk enough about the benefits of these things. The omega-3 fatty acid called DHA is a major structural component in our eyes, retinas. It may also help prevent macular degeneration, so very good for eyesight. And getting enough omega-3s during pregnancy and early life is crucial for the child's development. They also help improve numerous heart disease risk factors. They can have numerous benefits for people with metabolic syndrome. They can also reduce insulin resistance, and they're very supportive of overall brain health.
Yeah, I think it's pretty funny because salmon was one of my go-tos whenever I eat out. Like my family, I think sometimes even you, Chris, would be like, wow, you're getting salmon again? Do you want to try something new at this restaurant? Do you have to get salmon every time you eat out? I don't know. It's one of my go-tos. Restaurants usually make it super delicious. So that's plus, you know, especially when I was more into meal prepping, I'd still do some now, but I do a lot of cook fresh. Meal prepping fish is not one of those things you want to meal prep. It's usually ground beef or chicken or turkey.
Yeah.
So, you know, on the weekends we would go out, we would get some sushi. I would try to do salmon. So it was a good time to get some salmon, but I know I overdid it a little bit when, you know, you go to 3 restaurants in a row and you will order the salmon dish every time.
Well, it's fine. It's strategic.
It's strategic. Yes. Yeah. That's what I'll tell my family next time. Listen to this podcast. So next on our list is kale. I know kale got that reputation back in the day and then everyone was kind of over it. Remember, like, kale was like the superfood on Instagram. Everyone was talking about it. And then eventually people were like, is it really that great? I don't even like kale. Can I just eat some iceberg lettuce? Here's the deal. Kale is a nutrient-dense food. We're going to talk about it today. And we're also going to talk about some ways you can prepare it because not everyone likes raw kale. So we're going to give you a few options here. But
I'm one of them.
So kale is full of fiber, antioxidants, and other beneficial compounds such as vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin K1, vitamin B6, potassium, calcium, magnesium, and folate. It's also rich in a compound that stimulates detoxifying enzymes in the gut and liver. Finally, it's rich in glycosinolates, which induce phase 2 detoxification and activate NRF2 pathways, which buffer oxidative stress. So you can see why kale is such a superfood. So my favorite way to actually prepare kale is to saute it in a pan with some olive oil, you know, add some garlic, add some sea salt. You know, that tastes really good to me. Or even you can do kale chips in the oven. It's pretty easy. You just put it on a sheet pan, add a little bit of oil, bake it. I'm not sure the time, but just search how to make kale chips from home. I don't know. I do find that kale tends to taste better when you cook it for a little bit, even if you just flash cook it and don't cook it for too long, or if you mix it well with olive oil. But I don't mind it in a salad. I just have to have the right dressing.
Yeah, and a lot of people are scared of salt because they think that has all these detriments to health or whatever. But if you're active, you're sweating, you're moving, you can also balance it out with potassium to help flush salt out. You're drinking enough water. You don't have to take that much concern in it. I mean, obviously, you don't want to overdo it too crazily. But if it's a difference between salting your vegetables and making them taste good and not eating vegetables altogether, you're better off just salting them and, you know, just drinking a lot of water to flush that out and stuff like that and having some potassium. So don't be afraid to spice up, you know, whatever vegetable we're talking about, whatever you want to eat, whether it's asparagus, whatever green vegetable that you hate the most, just salt it up. I guarantee you, and a little bit of olive oil as well. It always makes everything taste better. And it's not going to be a huge detriment to your health and your nutrition plan, unless you have certain, you know, health issues that like, hey, I need to reduce my salt as much as possible. And that's a nuance to our argument there.
Absolutely. That's a great tip because I forget how much adding salt to kale does make a difference, especially when you're sauteing it. So don't be afraid to do that. And actually next on our list that would also be great to saute your food with is garlic or black garlic, which I've seen black garlic in stores. We've got it a few times. It's really cool. If you haven't tried black garlic yet, add that to your list. It's just another type of garlic that you can try. And mm-hmm. I actually think it tastes pretty good. It's something you should definitely add to your list because, again, adding variety to your food can really help you get these different types of nutrients.
Yeah, yeah. And I actually like eating black garlic. I can eat whole cloves of black garlic. They're not as strong and like off-putting, especially in terms of your breath when you got a significant other. It's not as bad. And so you should try it. I really like it. You can find it at health food stores. Most Whole Foods have it. So I highly recommend trying it.
So garlic in general is high in vitamin C, B1, B6, calcium, potassium, copper, manganese, and selenium. It also contains allicin, which has many benefits relating to lowering blood pressure and LDL cholesterol. On top of that, it's great for your microbiome. So a little bit of tip here when consuming garlic is to wait 5 to 10 minutes after chopping it or crushing it up to really get the full benefit of allicin, which is also why you probably want to buy the whole cloves, right, Chris?
Yeah, and you want to be eating it raw to get the allicin benefit. So you chop it up. I know most people like to cook with it or whatever, but while I'm cooking with it and I'm chopping stuff up, I'll leave maybe like a half teaspoon or the side or a quarter teaspoon. Let it sit for like 5 minutes and then come and like put the chopped up piece in my mouth and just kind of swig it down like a pill. And you'll get those allicin benefits that she just talked about and some other stuff too. I mean, it has heart health benefits, better blood pressure control, prevention of atherosclerosis, which, you know, refers to like the buildup of fats, cholesterol, and other like plaque in your artery walls and things like that. So it's a nice little health hack right there.
Absolutely. I mean, they say an apple a day keeps a doctor away, but we say a spoonful of garlic really does that. Okay. You know, I'm bringing some cheese to this episode. If I'm on it, there's going to be a little bit of cheese. But yeah, anyways, something to think about. I mean, it's kind of like looking at it as a supplement in some ways, like chopping it up and like, oh, I'm supplementing my diet with a spoonful of garlic. I need to remember to do that. Chris is pretty good about doing that. I always forget.
Yeah, but I'm probably like secreting the scent of garlic all over the place. So it's a total put off. But anyway, so we're moving on to the next one, which is eggs with the yolk. And eggs with yolks are among the richest sources of nutrients on the planet. It's a complete protein, and the yolk color actually comes from fat-soluble carotenoids, lutein and zeaxanthin, which have a variety of health benefits. And we could be going through all of the health benefits of these specific compounds the whole time, but we don't want to bog you down on all these different details. You can look these up and all the details for all these specific compounds, but we've covered them loosely on sporadic podcast episodes before, so we don't want to be too weighed down by the details here. But it is high in choline, lutein, zeaxanthin, like we said, antioxidants that protects the eyes, B12, copper, and fat-soluble vitamins A, D, and E. And one of the all-stars of eggs is choline. And what most people don't understand, especially if you're active, you're athletic, and things like that, choline is great because it is a precursor to acetylcholine, which is a neurotransmitter that plays an important role in not only regulating memory, mood, and overall brain health, but it also helps as a chemical messenger to help send signals from the nervous system to muscles, and it aids in muscle contractions and things like that. So that's why choline is really important if you're an athlete, if you're a bodybuilder, or if you're just active as well and you want to concentrate on performance. It's also needed for the process that synthesizes DNA, which is important for brain function and development. And several animal studies suggest that taking choline supplements during pregnancy may improve fetal brain development. So that's a beautiful thing. I mean, I don't have to keep going to show you why choline is so important for not only overall brain health, but also just overall physical health in general.
Absolutely. And another tip when it comes to choosing out the best eggs for you is to look for pasture-raised eggs when you're in the store. Those actually have more nutrients, especially concentrated in the egg yolk. So when you can offer pasture-raised eggs, that's even better than cage-free, et cetera, and all that. But just do the best you can, even if you can just get organic eggs. That's a step up from conventional eggs. And again, Chris and I eat eggs all the time. It's one of my favorite foods. And I love knowing that I get so many nutrients from a whole egg. And another tip if you're trying to cut calories, but you still want the nutrients from a whole egg, is to do maybe 1 to 2 to up to 3 whole eggs and then do a few egg whites. And you can get those egg white cartons if you don't want to waste any eggs. Just a helpful tip there, because I do think, I mean, there was a couple reasons why egg whites became so popular. But another reason is it's very low in calories. So you can have high volume. It can fill you up. So you can kind of get the best of both worlds if you combine the two into an omelet if you're really trying to lose weight and need more volume in your life.
And lately, I've been having the problem. I don't know if you guys have this problem too, where just like you scramble the eggs on the pan and you end up leaving that nice, that even thin layer across the bottom of the pan. And I'm just looking at that and be like, how much protein did I waste in that pan right there? So I actually started poaching my eggs recently.
Oh, nice.
It's my main thing. Actually, I poach them in tomato sauce. It's a recipe called Eggs Purgatory, or in Italian, Uove Purgatorio Picante.
Oh, it's one of my favorite dishes you make. I forgot. I was like, I haven't seen you poach eggs. So I was like, what is he talking about? And I was like, oh yeah, you make that dish all the time. And whenever you make it for me in the morning, I get really happy.
Yeah, you can poach eggs in water or whatever, but I just like to poach them in marinara sauce.
Well, it adds a great new flavor and comes out super delicious.
Oh,
like,
it's a beautiful thing.
He showed this in front of my friend Dr. Mary, and then she started doing this every morning, because it's literally pretty much, you can look it up, but it's just marinara. You heat it up, then you add the eggs and you cover it with a lid. And
whoa, don't mess up this recipe right there. You always start with the olive oil and the garlic and then the marinara, right? And if you want to, you can add a little bit of sausage in there or whatever, some tzatziki. And then you put the marinara in, let it simmer a little bit, it's bubbling evenly. Then you drop the eggs in, then you let it poach. And then at the very end, if you want to like grate some cheese over the top and throw some basil leaves in there, that's fine. But don't butcher my recipe.
I knew I was in trouble when I started that sentence. I was like, I think I'm going to get in trouble here.
You will stop.
But anyways, you guys should definitely give it a try.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So number 6, sardines. And sardines is an acquired taste for some people. And I think most people are just turned off by it. It's just the idea that you're opening up a tin and there's full fish in there. I mean, obviously they're gutted in the middle, like they take out the guts from the belly or whatever. But for the most part, it's the entire fish, head and all, sometimes that you're eating in these sardine cans. But it's great because, you know, as we went through before with organ meat and with liver, is that organ meat is the most nutritious part of the animal. So it makes sense that whole sardines would make that list because you're eating the whole animal minus like the digestive tract, right? So they contain a little bit of almost every nutrient, plus very high in omega-3s, which are great for brain health and cardiovascular support, like we talked about before. High in protein, rich in B12, selenium, vitamin D, calcium. And actually, they're the lowest in mercury of all fish. So that's one of the best things if I want to incorporate more fish in my diet, but I don't want to have big cuts of meat like salmon or tuna or things like that. I'll just go to a can of sardines.
So sardines are something great that you can look up to incorporate them into a good recipe because they are an acquired taste, but you can also make them taste good if you look up different recipes. So just Google search, Pinterest, you know, sardines, recipes that include sardines so you don't have to eat them straight out of the can, because my earliest memory of sardines is Chris stomaching them in Costa Rica. He had the worst look on his face. We're in the hotel room with like my brother and his girlfriend, and she's just baffled that Chris is eating something that he's so miserable. Like you can see it on his face while eating it, but we really didn't have access to that much food. And Chris, in many ways, he's also, you know, a health freak. I don't want to take it that far, but he knows he needs to get certain nutrients. So he's sitting here knowing how good sardines are, making himself eat it, knowing he's getting some protein in, but looking so unhappy doing it.
And it was the worst kind too, like, cause there was no salt. Like sometimes they're packed in olive oil. This was just packed in straight water. And it's kind of funny because her brother and her brother's girlfriend, they're both foodies.
Total foodies.
And so they are all about like things that are pleasant to the palate. And so when they go out to eat, it's all about the enjoyment of it, right?
Right.
And where Amanda and I are much more like, we see it as sustenance.
Utility,
know? Yeah,
man.
Exactly. I mean, I've gotten a little bit better, but around that time I was really, really gung-ho about it. And so I was looking and I could see that the empathy on her face, like I was like exporting my taste or lack thereof to her. And she had the same disgusted look on her face just watching me suffer through it. So yeah, it's kind of funny. Some people don't do it, but don't let that deter you because there are really good ones. I think like Wild Planet is really good. That's probably my favorite brand because they pack them in olive oil. There's a whole bunch of different flavors that you can get them like lemon, garlic. There's a bunch of different ways. I would highly recommend maybe starting it out in a big salad with a bunch of different veggies in it. You know, I throw a whole bunch of different greens, tomatoes and things like that, olive oil, salt. And that's pretty much 90% of the time I eat them, it's like that.
So next on our list of nutrient dense foods is blueberries. I love berries in general, but blueberries are an all-star on this list. They're one of my favorite. They're packed with antioxidants, which, you know, have so many benefits when it comes to your overall health. They're also rich in polyphenols, such as anthocyanins, quercetin, and resveratrol. They're also rich in polyphenols such as anthocyanins, quercetin, and resveratrol. They're also rich in polyphenols such as anthocyanins, quercetin, and resveratrol. In literature, blueberries improve cardiovascular support, improve insulin sensitivity, and enhance cognitive function. So add these to your list. These ones aren't a hard one to add to your list. They're great on their own. They're great in smoothies. They're great in oatmeal. They're great in Greek yogurt. I mean, there's what are blueberries not great in? That's the real question.
Yeah, and I really like to have them as my dessert on certain days where I want to be low carb because they don't spike your blood sugar that much. And so berries are really good, specifically blueberries. Anything really dark colored, blackberries as well. I know it's not on this list, but just to throw it in there. So I like to just use it as a really like healthy snack or dessert when I have that sweet tooth.
Absolutely. Moving on to number 8, which is seaweed. This is one of my new favorites because they have those sea snacks out on the market. So they're super crunchy. Sometimes I'll get those little box of them and I'll just eat the whole thing. They're also super messy, but it's really great. So seaweed is really known for being a rich source of iodine, which is necessary for healthy thyroid function. I also wanted to share some other highlights of iodine. So a few are, one, there was a study that found that babies whose birth mothers had an iodine deficiency during pregnancy were more likely to grow up with lower IQs and other intellectual delays. So iodine is a very important nutrient when it comes to fetal growth and, of course, early on when your kids are young. The recommended daily intake of iodine during pregnancy is 220 micrograms. So by comparison to that, the recommended amount when you're not pregnant is about 150 micrograms per day. So again, talk to your doctor, see where you should fall when you're pregnant, and also make sure you're getting some, you know, when you're not pregnant too. And seaweed is one of my favorites to add to your list when it comes to iodine.
Yeah, or you can take a kelp supplement or get like Dulse flakes that you can kind of sprinkle on salads. They don't taste like anything really. And so they're kind of benign in terms of adding them to your recipe. So those are other ways that you can add that to your diet.
Absolutely. And seaweed is also a good source of magnesium, vitamin K, manganese, iron, and calcium. Seaweed is also one of the few complete plant proteins, which I find super interesting. I would never expect that from seaweed. And seaweed is also high in phycocyanins and carotenoids, which are a powerful anti-inflammation antioxidant. So tons of good things in there. Again, seaweed snacks are popping up in like stores everywhere. So look for them on the shelves, check it out, or you can even order some from Amazon. It's something good to have in your nutrition repertoire.
All right, the next one is oysters. And oysters for me, it was a very acquired taste. I always hated the consistency, even with, you know, whether people put the lemon in it or the Tabasco sauce.
I always liked oysters.
Oh man, I did it again. That was another thing that I did it as utility, you know, or bait, you know, back when you first find out about it, you're in college and someone's like, ooh, it's an aphrodisiac. So you're like, oh, well, I might as well just go out on a date and get some oysters because it's an aphrodisiac. But I didn't do it because I liked it. I did it for, again, utility.
Didn't I make us oysters one time? I can't remember if it was oysters or mussels.
No, it was mussels.
Oh, but I was very proud of myself with the sauce. That's all I
know. No, it was great. But I've actually tried to buy oysters before and I didn't know how to split them. So I spent like an hour in the kitchen trying to figure out a way to do it because I didn't have that tool, right? So I ended up cooking them just like mussels and it was a bad idea. But so if you go have somebody else split them, I'd tell you that if you get them from the market. But they're great. It's one of the best sources of vitamin B12. Zinc, and it's also rich in bioavailable iron, which is heme iron. And just so you know, like non-heme iron is not as bioavailable. And so there's different ways, things that you can add to it. Like I think lemon, if you have that with non-heme iron, it helps with the uptake and the bioavailability of it. And a 3.5 ounce serving of wild eastern oysters provides the following nutrients: 605% RDI of zinc, and zinc plays a vital role in immune system health, metabolism, and cell growth. It has 324% RDI of vitamin B12, which is critical for nervous system maintenance, metabolism, and blood cell formation. And just so you know, many people, including meat eaters, and especially older adults, are deficient in vitamin B12. So it's not just vegans and vegetarians. That's a common mistake. I mean, they do have problems getting it and they have to supplement or you know, take algae and things like that. And it's much more difficult, but don't assume that just because you have meat in your diet that you're not deficient in this vitamin. And it also has 91% of the RDI of selenium. And selenium is crucial because it maintains proper thyroid function and metabolism. It also acts as a powerful antioxidant. And one thing you should know is that you should avoid oysters if you have liver disease or hemochromatosis. So I would stay away from them or talk to your doctor or whatever, but err on the side of caution on that.
Yeah, it's just another reason why you should be adding seafood to your diet. Obviously, we covered salmon and sardines and oysters up there. So really think about it. When you go to a restaurant, maybe try some of the seafood. If you don't normally venture into the seafood world, do it. I mean, I love seafood. So I always like oysters. I like mussels. I like all those things. But oysters are a great one to add to your list.
Yeah, and shellfish is a kind of a separate category, right? Because their nervous systems and the way they act as living beings is different than the rest of the animal and fish community. So if you're on the ethical side of things and you're a vegetarian or a vegan, but you suspect that you want to try to incorporate some of this stuff every now and then just for health benefits and to avoid nutritional deficiencies, I've read a lot and heard a lot of people on different podcasts talk about having that be the exception to the rule. Let's just say you're 99.99% following a vegan diet, but you want to sometimes incorporate some shellfish. I've heard some people do that. Look into that. I'm not going to tell you what to do or how to adjust your diet based on your ethics, but maybe look into that. And just shows that, like, in terms of their inability to feel pain, they're not conscious, So just be open-minded to it and it might improve your overall health. All right, so next on the list is red cabbage. And like other cruciferous vegetables, they're rich in glucosinates, which are compounds that contribute to the overall benefits of cruciferous vegetables in general. But specifically, they've been shown in certain studies to reduce risks in certain cancers like lung cancer and things like that. So very important. I would love to see more studies on that. But as of right now, I'll take it. And the reddish purple pigment found in cabbage comes from anthocyanins, which have been shown to prevent mitochondrial damage and reduce oxidative stress. And one large study found that women who regularly eat large amounts of anthocyanin-rich foods may benefit from an 11 to 32% lower risk of heart attacks. And that's compared to those who eat fewer of these foods.
Very cool. I mean, honestly, I think red cabbage I mostly eat when it's in coleslaw, so I should probably get some and mix it in with some of our foods, saute it, maybe saute it with some kale.
Yeah, I need to start sauteing it much more. I mean, it's good when I do it. I just never do. I always overlook it whenever I'm going through the veggie aisle. So second last, we're almost there, bok choy, another one that's rich in glucosinolates, which come in many different flavors and give rise to various isothiocyanates. And according to a National Cancer Institute study in rats and mice, they demonstrated that indoles and isothiocyanates, the compounds that form from breaking down glucosinolates, protect cells from DNA damage and carcinogens and have antibacterial and antiviral effects. They also aid in liver detox and hormone regulation, and they're a good source of vitamin K, vitamin C, calcium, and riboflavin. And we also like bok choy, cabbage, and other cruciferous vegetables for their ability to neutralize excess estrogen in the body, which we failed to cover on the other ones, but I wanted to reiterate that from older podcasts when we talked about hormone regulation and things like that, that cruciferous vegetables are extremely crucial for estrogen detox.
I didn't know bok choy was that good because you always have me get it for you from the grocery store. And I'm like, oh, why? He always wants bok choy. Did you know this already or do you just like bok choy?
No, I did my research.
I also think bok choy tastes really good sauteed with some coconut aminos. It's basically a similar version of soy sauce. It tastes really good. So that's something to consider. Do some bok choy, saute it with some olive oil and some coconut aminos and you're good to go.
I like sesame oil as well.
Cook with. Yes. That's a good idea. All right. Let's make that tonight maybe. Mm-hmm. So last on our list is one of Chris's favorite fruits. But let me just say, watermelon is his favorite. So it's not the favorite, but it's up there. And they're goji berries, actually. And so we usually find them dried. So dried goji berries are usually what you'll find on the shelves in stores. They're one of my favorites, too. They taste great when you add them to oatmeal, Greek yogurt, or even have them on their own. Chris likes to have them just like a handful, pre-workout, post-workout?
In the middle of my workout.
In the middle of your workout. Okay, I was somewhere around his workout. So here are a few reasons why goji berries are so nutrient-dense. 5 tablespoons of goji berries contain about 501% of your daily value of vitamin A, 11% of your daily value of iron, and 15% of your daily value of vitamin C. They also are a good source of fiber, so about 3.6 grams of fiber per 5 tablespoons. And actually, one test tube study found that treating cells with goji berry extract significantly increased antioxidant levels and reduced several markers of oxidative stress. Another cool fact about goji berries is it also has the highest amount of protein for any fruit out there, which is really interesting. I remember seeing them and they kind of look like raisins. And I was like, what's so good about these goji berries? Chris always gets them. He's always telling me to eat them. And then when I looked up some of the facts about them, I was like, oh, there's something to these goji berries, you know?
Except for the fact that you look like a little kid who just drank some Kool-Aid when you're done eating them. So you may want to swish your mouth out or whatever. Cause you have that red lip look, or maybe I'm just eating a whole bag. And so that's my problem.
Anyways, I really like them too. So add them to your list. So some notes on whether goji berries would be a good fit for you. So a couple questions came up around eating goji berries when you're pregnant. There was some concern about betaine and goji berries and whether that would be harmful to the fetal health. But then I read some other articles saying that as long as you have it in moderation, it's fine. So talk to your doctor about that. I'd find it a little weird that a whole food would have that much of a concern. But again, something to consider to not just dive first into eating goji berries if you're pregnant. And then the other concern with goji berries is they may interact with certain drugs like blood thinners and other medications for diabetes or high blood pressure. So if you're on any of those medications, maybe talk to your doctor or have him monitor before adding them to your diet.
Yeah. So just as a summary, our list includes liver, salmon, kale, oysters, blueberries, seaweed, garlic, eggs with the yolk, sardines, red cabbage, bok choy, and goji berries. So that's our list. And obviously there are other ones on here that we kind of cut off, but we wanted to talk about our favorite ones and what we think are the most dense. And yeah, just try to incorporate a few more into your diet this week and let us know what you think.
We actually want to challenge you to try any of these that you haven't tried yet. So if there's some on these lists that you haven't tried yet, we're going to challenge you to add it to your diet. And if it's one of the ones that maybe don't taste great on their own, make sure to look up a recipe, because eating healthy should be fun. You don't have to be like Chris and stomach your way through all the food. You can get the best of both worlds by making these foods taste delicious. So that's our challenge to you today. If you do that, make sure to tag me at MeowMix. I'd love to see what you're making in the kitchen.
Yeah, and I would say that if I were to pick any one of these to incorporate into your diet or at least start thinking about, is liver. We said it first because it is the single most nutrient-dense food that you can find out there, bar none. And so if you eat meat and you want to try it, and like she said, highly recommended you try Mary's Bangin' Liver recipe because it's great. It's the best recipe I've tried so far. But really, if there was one to incorporate, I would say that one.
Absolutely. And if you're vegan or vegetarian, then maybe give bok choy a try or some black garlic, because that's kind of a little bit more unique. And yeah, it's, you know, have fun with your diet, but also try some of these nutrient dense foods.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Remember to leave a review on the podcast app. We'd like to hear your feedback, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Bye.
See you.